Paul Harris filling in for McGraw here on the Big 550 and now on the Verizon Wireless guest line. Let me introduce you to T. Christian Miller, who's a reporter for ProPublica, who had a great piece in the latest issue of Newsweek called The Gang That Couldn't Shoot Straight. The Gang That Couldn't Shoot Straight. It's about the $6 billion you and I have wasted as American taxpayers on training the Afghan National Police, because here we are nearly 8.5 years into our presence in Afghanistan, and they can't take care of their own country yet. T, welcome to the Big 550 KTRS.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, Paul.
So President Obama was in Afghanistan over the weekend. He met with Hamid Karzai, the president of that country. He also made a visit to our troops over there to prop them up and give them our support. In that weekend, did he talk about this? Was this an issue with Karzai? Or, in other words, are we trying to light a fire under that country?
Oh, certainly. One of the big issues that Obama has raised right since the beginning of his term in office was about training the police and the army. And at the same time, another huge issue has been corruption in the Karzai government. And with the police, you see both those things coming together. We're training this police force to try and take the place of U.S. soldiers. At the same time, there are many indications that we had in the Newsweek article that these very same police officers are the ones who are engaging in corruption.
Engaging in corruption and all sorts of other illegal activities, right?
Oh, yeah. You had reports of police selling their weapons, for instance, to the Taliban, the same weapons that we had bought for them. The police will then turn around and actually sell to the Taliban. You had villagers telling our reporters at Newsweek and ProPublica that they were happy to see U.S. troops because the police who had been in their town were actually worse than the Taliban in terms of allegations of assault and rape and all sorts of terrible things.
Now, one of the things that I'm fascinated by in this piece is a discussion that went on about, 2 weeks ago in a briefing in Afghanistan with President Obama and some of his senior advisors, in which he asked whether the police will be ready when we leave there in July of next year. Pick up the story from there, if you would.
Right. That was a March 12th briefing, and it was in the Situation Room, and the president and all his senior advisors, his Secretary of State Clinton, Secretary of Defense Gates, were all in this room. And on the other end, by video conference, was General McChrystal, the senior commander in Afghanistan, and his top advisors. And at one point in time, the topic of police training came up, and General William Caldwell, who heads the police training effort, told the president, he basically said, President Obama said, are we able to train these guys? Do we have a good timetable? And General Caldwell replied, according to the people that we talked to, he said, well, really, Mr. President, we haven't been doing any training at all in the past 8 years. And the president's response to that was to just sort of look around his room and say, we haven't done any training? That's just mind-boggling. And that was all from a senior source of ours who was recounting what happened in that room, and it was just described as this moment of shock and realization of how far behind we were.
So how is it possible that we've been in that country for all of this time, eventually hoping that the Afghans would, quote, take care of their own land, unquote, and yet we're not helping them in that effort whatsoever?
Well, that's the incredibly incredibly complex answer to that, Paul. And that's what the whole article is trying to get at, was that there are just so many players in this mix, and there have been so few people in our government who have really bothered to take command and control and say, this is not working, or this is working. So you've had the State Department involved, you've had the Defense Department involved, you've had the NATO involved, you've had the Afghan government involved, you've had the European Union involved. There's just been an amazing amount of people all running around trying to train. What's not really, it's a very difficult training mission, obviously. You're in a war zone. These Afghans many of them are illiterate. It was never going to be easy, but it certainly has not been made any easier by any kind of accountability.
Claire McCaskill, who's the junior senator, the Democrat from Missouri, has been doing a lot of work on Capitol Hill about federal contracting. And in your piece, you talk in particular about one federal contractor that was supposed to be in charge of this training, a company called DynCorp, which you say got $1.7 billion in Pentagon money to do this training, but didn't do the job.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
DynCorp got the early-on contract to do this training in Afghanistan all the way back in 2003, and they started from a very small few number of trainers, and they've grown up to about 600 or 700 now. If you talk to the DynCorp people, of course, they'll defend their job, and they'll say that they did what they were told to do, and there is some truth to that. I mean, when you have different government agencies telling you to different things, I mean, you're going to try and do what it is they tell you, and what's going to end up is a confusing mess. At the same time, DynCorp has certainly been found by auditors to have had terrible track of their receipts. So you see just money kind of flying out the door, and you don't know what's coming in the door. You have questions about the weapons and where they're being stored. You have questions about just sort of like DynCorp material and where it is. So you've had a number of questions about the company itself that you can't just blame on there being a lack of direction from on high.
T, in the reporting that you did on this with Mark Hosenball and Ron Moreau for Newsweek, did you look into the question of whether the Afghans actually can conceive of a national police force in a country that has been so tribal and thought so small for all these years that perhaps they can't think of a group of people in uniform who are going to protect their entire country?
Sure. Ron Moreau was the Newsweek reporter who was on the ground in Afghanistan and did excellent work, and this was one of the themes of his reporting. It came down to when you talk to an Afghan a lot of times and ask them, well, who's your loyalty to? The answer will be to their clan or their tribe or their village. There's not a sense at all of nationalism. And so the idea of creating a national police force, which never existed before, is a new idea that we are, the West, the U.S., and its allies are imposing on Afghanistan. Doesn't mean it can't eventually work, but it does mean that there is not, as in Iraq, where there was a sense of national identity to some degree, there is no sense of that in Afghanistan. So it's just another hurdle you have to overcome in building a police force.
Building a police force that is still at zero, according to one of the policemen that you quote in here, who says the other Afghanis on his force don't listen, they're undisciplined, and will never be real policemen. I can't help but wonder if some of the people who are, quote, policemen in Afghanistan are really people who just wanted to get a paycheck for anything because of the huge unemployment in that country. They looked at this as a way to get a paycheck and then sell their equipment to the Taliban.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This was definitely kind of seen as a way to make money. In fact, there's one description that was came to us is that kind of if you're an Afghan kid, you first want to go to the Afghan army, which actually for most of the time has paid better, and the Afghan army is generally considered a better trained army. Then the next best payers were the Taliban, frankly. And then after that came the Afghan police, who kind of paid the worst. So we were typical business model. You pay the least, you're going to get the sort of the least ready recruits. Now that's really recently changed. That pay structure has changed. But for many of the years that we were there in Afghanistan, the Afghan police were essentially collecting the guys who couldn't qualify for the army or the Taliban.
We've only touched on the tip of the story here. You should read the rest. It's in Newsweek, as reported by T. Christian Miller, senior reporter for ProPublica. Thanks for joining me this morning. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
T. Christian Miller on the Verizon Wireless KTRS guest line with Paul Harris from McGraw on the Big 550.